Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome into another week of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us. We do this each day at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Indiana takes a loss yesterday afternoon at Michigan. It's not completely unexpected. The final score, Michigan 74, Indiana 63. IU is now 12-3 on the season, 3-1 in the Big Ten Conference play. So first conference loss for the Hoosiers. And, of course, next up, they're in the middle of a tough stretch, especially as far as road games go. They are at Maryland on Friday. Indiana fell behind early in the game. They trailed by 19 points very quickly, it seemed, in the first half. There were some early foul problems, two quick ones on Jawan Morgan and Romeo Langford, and it looked like Michigan might be on its way to an absolute blowout. And to be honest with you, there are plenty of things you can pick out negative about this IU performance. But for Indiana to have a final score of around 10 points, the deficit in the game, compared to where they were at with who had what foul problems and who maybe didn't contribute beside Langford and Morgan that you would hope would in this game, probably not a bad performance, a bad game overall against the number two ranked team in the nation. The favorite, I think, to win the Big Ten Conference. And again, as I said last week, a Final Four team, if there is one in the Big Ten, Michigan sure looks like they would be that top candidate. But Indiana with the loss, there are concerning things in the game. We're going to get into the full breakdown coming up here a little bit later in our Hoosier headlines, and we'll be talking throughout the show about this contest. But it's an opportunity for Indiana to bounce back at Maryland. That will be a game that I much more favorably like IU's chances, even though it's on the road. And it's an important game because to bounce back after your first conference loss in the midst of such a tough early part of the schedule here in January, I think it's important for this team to show itself that it can bounce back early and record a victory after losing one on the road. But again, no shame in the loss to Michigan. It would have been a huge upset, I believe, if Indiana had been able to go in there and pull off a victory against a very good Michigan team. So nothing too much lost, other than a couple concerning factors with the team that we'll talk about. But IU now has to look ahead to Maryland on Friday. They do get a couple days off to go back to Bloomington to get back in school. I don't know that school begins back this week in Bloomington, but to get back in at least a normal routine of sorts before they hit the road again for Maryland in another Big Ten Conference road game. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Monday on our Hoosier headlines, that's what we have in segment one, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll break down the IU-Michigan game. We'll talk about some of the concerning parts of that game. We'll also recap high school basketball, big weekend of games, big Friday night of games specifically, and Jeffersonville beats New Albany. It was a very good game until the final minute or two when Jeffersonville was able to build a little cushion, but another great game. And again, I've said this after the New Albany Floyd and the New Albany Jeff game now, and I'm sure I'll say it again next week after Jeff and Floyd Central play. Lots of reasons to be excited about the 4A sectional at Seymour. It's going to be a lot like last year. Very, very exciting. You don't know exactly for sure. I think we have a favorite. I think, and we probably need to wait to get through this weekend to say this, officially at least, but I think Floyd Central you could label as the favorite. But Jeffersonville is very good. On any given night, I think they can beat anyone, and the same goes for New Albany. But going to be interesting to see how that game shakes out. Jeff and Floyd Central coming up on Friday night of this week. But we'll talk about all of that and more in Segment 1, our Hoosier Headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Segment 2, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He will join me. Zach is the IU insider for the Star. We'll recap IU Michigan. We'll talk about some things specifically with that game. And we'll start to look ahead at Maryland as well, another road game for IU when Zach is with us. And then later in the program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and also an IHSA executive board member, he joins me. We'll recap the New Albany Jeff game with Chad. We'll talk some other Southern Indiana sports headlines with him as well. That's a look at our show today presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. As far as the IU-Michigan game goes, a couple things on that. Obviously, you've got to get more point production from someone other than Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford. And Juwan Morgan was still good. He had a game-high 25 points. He was not near as efficient as he normally is, but I think you can add a lot of that to the fact that Michigan is very good. Michigan made it hard for him just to get the ball, let alone to score the basketball. He was 9 of 22 shooting. He played 27 minutes in the game, and of course he had two fouls in the first couple minutes before the first media timeout. Both him and Romeo Langford whistled for two very early fouls, which I think changed the complexion of that game even early, allowing Michigan a lot easier to go out to a 19-point lead in the first half. Romeo Langford, 17 points on the day. He was 5 of 11 shooting. And I tell you what, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. His free throw shooting earlier in the season was dismal. It has gotten consistently better, which is a very good sign for the freshman Romeo to go 6 of 6 from the line. And he played 31 minutes in the game on Sunday as well. But this is something we've talked so much about. Slow starts by this Indiana team, and it finally caught up to them. You cannot go on the road in the Big Ten. You cannot take on a quality opponent like a Michigan and fall behind as much as they did early in the game. And Archie Miller spent a lot of time talking about this in the post-game press conference, but you can't fall behind early to really good teams. Indiana did it against Louisville, who's a good team, and they were fortunate enough to come back and win in a close one. Same thing with Butler. They fell behind early. Rob Fennessy saved the day after IU had battled back to make it competitive down the stretch. But even against the lower-level opponents on IU's schedule, they never got off to a good start. It was always, you know, halfway through the first half, even later into the first half, it seemed, until this team really took off. And that's a concerning problem, and it's a problem that absolutely was a big difference in the game yesterday. I'm not saying that it made a difference as far as Indiana winning, but it may have been a couple possession ball game or less had Indiana not got off to a terrible start. Of course, the two fouls on Juwan and the two fouls on Romeo, that's debatable, and it obviously had an impact on the game early as well, that you're not expecting both of those guys at least to be out at the same time in the very early key moments of the game. But slow starts are something that I think Indiana has let define them to this point. We expect, I think, as people, fans, media, people that watch the games, Indiana to get off to a slow start. And yesterday it absolutely just was a major issue in the game from them. Michigan a 19-point lead less than 12 minutes into the game. By halftime, Michigan was ahead 15, and Charles Matthews, 16 first-half points. Jordan Poole had 12, so a very good slow start, a very good fast start for Michigan, obviously a slow start for Indiana as well. I thought Rob Fennessy, him not being on the floor, was an issue yesterday. Devontae Green did have 9 points, but my goodness, sometime I don't know where he is going when he has the basketball or why he doesn't see the floor and see Romeo and a few other players. It's really unbelievable and very frustrating to watch. But Indiana didn't, I thought, from that perspective, look very good yesterday. And Michigan, let's be honest, they are a very good defensive team. No question about that. Very good defensive team. They are just really good. I think that they have a great chance to win the Big Ten Conference. And again, I said it last week, to be a Final Four team. And I may not be right. Michigan State's good. There could be someone else pop up in the Big Ten that we're not expecting and go on to win this thing or have a great run at it. But Michigan has all the weapons on both ends of the floor that I think make them absolutely dangerous. Let's take a look at high school basketball and give you a recap of some of the big moments over the weekend and hand out our hypothetical game balls that we do every Monday to the top performers and some of the key players from this weekend's game. Obviously, nothing bigger than the New Albany at Jeffersonville game. A great game, I thought, as far as for fans to watch. 9 lead changes, I believe it was, in the game. Anytime you get a game with that many lead changes and the final score that it was, it was obviously a terrific game to watch. First thing I'll say, first criticism, and really only criticism I've got, is the game was not sold out, and I'm really not even sure that it was near a sellout. There was plenty of room higher up in both upper levels up on the opposing of the benches and on the benches side, and the additional bleachers that are up on the top underneath one of the baselines, those were just very spotty as well as far as fans go. And that's disappointing because this is one of the greatest rivalries in the state of Indiana. This is one of the best series that there are. And I would thought that if it's not a sellout, it would be very close, within a couple hundred tickets at the most. And I think it was well beyond being a couple hundred tickets to a sellout. It's $5. It's great entertainment. A lot of great players out there that are going to go on to play some level of college basketball, and just a great rivalry that means so much for the two communities. The fans that were there were awesome. It was great as always. Great student sections, a lot of intensity throughout the game. And again, when you got a game with 9 lead changes and it's as close as and competitive as it was, it's going to be great for the fans, and it's going to keep the fans engaged, which is something in some of the rivalry games we haven't always seen with Romeo and New Albany in past years being very dominant. But those days are over. These games are very close, and I just wish the crowd would continue to be what it was. I understand we may never see people waiting at 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon for the few tickets that remain at the door, or getting lined up at tournament games to get the best seat in an open seating situation, but this is still a great basketball game anytime these locals hook up. New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central, Providence, and of course into the postseason. It's a great opportunity to see something special, and let's hope that maybe in the sectional we can still get some really good attendance, because I don't know that there's anything better than some of these rivalry high school games. But other than that, everything in the game itself, very well played game, very competitive game. We'll hand out our first hypothetical game ball over the weekend to Jacob Jones. I thought he was absolutely spectacular for Jeffersonville in the victory. Jones for the Red Devils was a key for them. He had 26 points, I believe, was his tally in the contest, and obviously a big win for Jeffersonville. He was quick. No one could guard him, especially in the early stages of the game, and he was a major factor for Jeffersonville. Also, Trey Coleman for the Red Devils, he had 15 points, a double-double, as he had 11 rebounds as well. He would go on to score 20 points the next night in a very close and competitive game where Jeff had to come from behind at Christian Academy. We'll give a game ball to Trey Coleman as well. And one other player I want to recognize, a lot of freshmen in that New Albany Jeff game. I can remember years where you would never see freshmen get on the floor. They might be on the varsity roster. They might get some playing time against lesser opponents on the New Albany or Jeffersonville schedules. But a number of freshmen in that game on Friday night, none looked better than Will Lovings Watts of Jeffersonville. He had double-digit scoring for the Red Devils, was very important for Jeff in the middle part of the game. I know Coach Luce told me he's been getting better and better. He has big hopes for him and the success level that he can reach, but I thought his performance as a freshman in that game was very noteworthy, and a player down the road that we'll be talking a lot about, no question about it. Other performances over the weekend that are worth noting: Zane Gross continues to be spectacular as the senior leading the 11-1 Silver Creek team. He had 20 points as Silver Creek absolutely had its way from the tip-off to the final buzzer against Louisville Male. The final score, 82-63. Gross had 20 points in that contest and 33 the night before, as Eastern just absolutely shellacked. Silver Creek absolutely shellacked Eastern. The score, 93-44. Gross, 33 points. We'll give Gross a game ball. Also, got to give one to to Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. He had 22 points and double-digit rebounds as well in the win on Saturday at Newcastle. That was part of that Indiana-Kentucky Challenge Cup where you have Indiana teams against Kentucky teams, and that Silver Creek win, a big win for Indiana. Trey Kaufman, a youngster, a sophomore, playing really well in front of a lot of people there as well, so a game ball to him. And then also worth noting, Christian Academy of Indiana, they had a really good weekend. I know they lost to Jeff on Saturday, but they beat their rival Christian Academy of Louisville in the same school corporation, same school system. 51-44 was that score on Friday night. T.J. Proctor led the way with 18 points. Of course, Christian Academy is without a key player, still finding its way to a lot of victories, and then came back against Jeffersonville at home. Even though they didn't win, they were very competitive and lost just by 7 points, with Jeffersonville having to come from behind to win that game. Again, they were led this time by Ethan Carrier. He had 22 points. Proctor with 14 in that game for Christian Academy. So a lot of things to take note of over the weekend. We are heading into the backside of January. Before we know it, we'll be into February. And, of course, the sectional draw is forthcoming, as crazy as it seems to talk about, but it will be here before you know it. And we'll be tipping off on Tuesday in late February and Friday and Saturday in early March with those sectionals coming up as well. And one other note, Floyd Central girls win a very exciting game, a three-pointer at the buzzer in overtime for the Highlanders to win it over New Albany in that rivalry game in girls basketball over the weekend. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday show, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill, where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. I know Hoopsters was rocking with Red Devil fans after the big game Friday night at William S. Johnson Arena. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU insider for the Star, and he'll join us to talk all about yesterday's loss on the road for the Hoosiers at Michigan after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
On Mondays, we get the opportunity to catch up with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU insider for the Star, and we're going to talk and recap the loss yesterday for the Hoosiers. 74-63, the final score at Michigan. IU 12-3 overall, 3-1 in Big Ten Conference play. Their next game Friday at Maryland in Big Ten Conference's play continues. Zach, you and I spent some time talking last week about slow starts and how, in many ways, it had become the identity of this team. And fortunately for IU, they've been able to find their way back from some of these slow starts. But on the road, on a Sunday afternoon at number 2-ranked Michigan, a slow start, getting down by 19 points early with Langford and Morgan, both with two fouls. I think everyone knew, in the building, at home watching on TV, wherever you were, that was going to be a tough one to dig out of.
Yeah, I mean, the foul trouble probably skewed it a little bit. It Indiana understandably looked really rocked there for a few minutes without its two best players, and just losing them so quickly like that before anybody could really get established well in the game, and also losing them when Deron Davis wasn't available and has been a capable understudy for Juwan Morgan, you know, when Morgan's been in foul trouble at times this year. But that doesn't change the fact that just in general, even before those fouls, it didn't feel like Indiana was starting the way that it wanted to. I think it was 14-9 at the first media timeout. And somebody kind of pointed out on Twitter, said, well, that doesn't seem that bad when you're on the road against a really good team. You know, you just need to kind of find your feet. But when you listen to Archie Miller and his players talk about the way, you know, what they want out of each and every game, it starts with defense for them. And I think that what's been concerning, particularly about some of these slow starts, is that they've come at the defensive end, that it's taken a while for Indiana to really ratchet up its defensive intensity, get sharp, get connected at that end of the floor, and get itself to a place where it's stringing stops together. And I think you saw them do that on Sunday, but you didn't see them do it till they were already down 15, 17, 19 points. And again, that maybe is as much a factor of the foul trouble as anything else, because Indiana just looked all out of sorts when it lost Langford and Morgan, you know, both by the first media timeout. But in a broader sense, if this team's greatest strength right now as a team is its defense. It says that its defense is what it wants, you know, kind of its success to be grounded in first and foremost. That's understandable. It makes sense. The concern is when it's the defense that isn't there from the beginning. That's what's digging Indiana these holes. But I guess the positive or the optimistic view is, if that is what's causing these problems for Indiana, it is a great strength for them, and it shouldn't, in theory, be that hard for them to kind of figure out how they kind of ratchet that up from the beginning of game.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, and I'm looking at your story, and I'm going to pull this from there briefly just to kind of recap the slow starts. Indiana trailed Butler the entire first half. They won that game. Same thing with the Louisville game. When they played Northwestern earlier, Northwestern led by 5 points in the first half. Penn State led by 9. And then last week, Illinois built a 10-point lead in the first half before Indiana was able to come back and win that one. So, again, this is not just something happening against a Michigan or a Duke. This has been consistent, even against some of the lower-level, mid-major opponents that IU has had on their schedule. They've come out with starts that have been lackluster, to say the best. If you're Archie Miller, and I know he spent a lot of time talking to you guys in the post-game press conference about these slow starts and how they're troubling to him and to this Indiana team, what do you do to fix those? What do you practice to come out more ready to play? Or is it something with the game day planning? Or what could it be that you might have to look at to fix a problem like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you know, listen, it's part of the answer for me is that old line that I'd make a lot more money than I do if I had the answer. I think what it just sort of feels like is Indiana doesn't have that spark from the beginning. And whether that's a certain player or a couple of players, you know, I think it's worth pointing out, as good as Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford are offensively, they're also probably two of this team's best defensive players. Morgan is critical because of his experience, his communication, and then his own individual ability. And Langford, I think quietly, just because people pay so much attention to his offense, has become a really, really useful defender for Indiana. He uses his hands and sort of arm movement than probably people think. And he can match up to a number of different positions because he is a true 6'5", 6'6", with long arms. So he can guard maybe at least three different spots on the floor. And when you lose that, obviously that's going to have an impact. But the flip side is maybe it's guys like that that need to be sparking you. I think that last season it was a guy like Zach McRoberts, you know, who really just kind of came in, and you could always count on McRoberts to be making the hustle plays early, to be kind of the one that was sort of showing his teammates, okay, it's go time. Look at Zach. He's diving on the floor from a loose ball or doing this or doing that. Well, you know, he's been limited by this back problem. He's playing again, but you very much get the sense he's playing through some pain or some discomfort or at least some setback from that injury. And it's possible that that's going to be a long-term concern now for Indiana, too. So I think that really, in terms of emphasis, and this is something Archie said many times, but it makes perfect sense, it does need to start defensively. Like, Indiana needs to be starting games at full throttle, in fifth gear, whatever you want to say, at the defensive end of the floor, because that is where this team seems most capable of affecting. Pointing out, you know, Michigan, the game gets a little bit lopsided because of the foul trouble. But listen, that is a top five team. It's a team with, you know, three guys averaging in double figures. It's a team that's one of the best defensively in the country, but still very efficient offensively. It's a John Beilein coach team, so they're going to know how to score. So you can't look at Michigan and just be sort of the lone representative sample. There's another good example of, it wasn't even necessarily the offensively, it was that it just wasn't engaged for the first few minutes of that game.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is on his way back from Ann Arbor right now. I think we've lost you for a second. Zach, are you still there?
I'm here. Can
okay,
you hear me?
Got you now, loud and clear.
All right. I'm in northern Indiana right now, so you know, I don't know. Blame somebody in Fort Wayne if I lose reception. But I was saying, I think it's to Indiana's credit that they've been able to win a lot of these games when they struggled early. And I think it speaks to this team's potential. And I'm not saying that it's as simple as, well, if they stop struggling early, then they'll just start winning a whole bunch of games. But I do think that you start to kind of diagnose at this time of year what are the things that, you know, different teams have to overcome if they're going to realize their potential. For Indiana, injuries, obviously one. But another one is figuring out just how to get engaged immediately in games and not be putting itself behind the eight ball, because you don't really get that cushion now of, okay, we'll play a couple tough games, then we have a couple of guarantee games, then we'll go on the road to Duke, and then we, you know, we do this, we do that. It's every weekend now, and it's as tough as the Big Ten's been in probably at least 5 years. You got to figure it out.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. We're recapping yesterday's IU at Michigan loss for the Hoosiers. Juwan Morgan was solid, not as consistent, as efficient, I should say, as normal. And that, I think, is in great part because Michigan is really good defensively, made it tough for him to score and really even just to get touches at times in the game. Romeo Langford, 17 points. Outside of that, not a lot of scoring. I think Devontae Green had 9, although I thought overall not one of his better games. Indiana's going to have a third scorer, someone that can step up into double digits in these big, tough games, especially on the road. If they're going to come away with a win over Michigan this season or a win on the road, maybe even against the Maryland team on Friday. Don't you agree that point production and having more than just two real serious threats is something this team needs to find another offensive player to step up?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think in one respect, you hope that when you get Robert Finney back, I'm not saying Finney immediately goes into double-figure scoring, but you get that another really capable point guard back all of a sudden. You got somebody else creating for others. You've got somebody else making shots. And so then potentially you could be talking about maybe not one person elevating, but the whole offense, you know, raising a little bit, because now it's not just Devontae Green trying to create shots for people. It's Robert Finney as well. You know, I think it is tough to know exactly where that third scorer is going to come from. At times this year, it looked a little bit like it could be Al Durham. He's tried to be a little bit more assertive.
And that's Zach Osterman. We lost him here again. He's traveling back from the Michigan game at Ann Arbor. Doug, see if you can reconnect with him. But a bad signal as he travels back from Northern Indiana. Recapping the IU game at Michigan yesterday. Again, IU is in action Friday at Maryland. That's their next game. We've talked some. In fact, my next question for Zach was to talk about some of the upcoming games for Indiana. Number of road games against some of the upper to mid-level Big Ten Conference teams are forthcoming for this IU team. So we'll see if we can get Zach back here in a few moments to talk about that. But obviously the challenges are going to keep coming for this Indiana team here early on. And I've said all along, two and a half weeks into the conference season, I think we'll know a lot more about the potential for this IU team. Zach, I don't know if you remember where you were at. You're welcome to pick up, or I can go ahead to the next question we had for you.
No, I mean, I think I was just sort of saying that I totally agree about the need for a third scorer. And I don't know if that really can be by committee. I'm not a big fan of by committee and stuff like that, because you need to know where you can consistently count on something as basic as points to come from. I do think that the offense gets better when Robert Finney gets back, and it seems like that's going to be soon. I wouldn't guarantee it's Maryland, but it seems like it's very much trending toward him returning soon from his concussion. I think having another creative force running the point, you know, kind of all boats rise there a little bit in terms of offense. You know, I think there are times where Al Durham has looked like he really wanted to be kind of that assertive third scorer to mixed results. Archie probably hoped Justin Smith would be that player at some level, and I think Smith's improved almost everywhere else. He's much better defensively. He's become really reliable on the boards, but he's just not getting the same offensive impact. And not just in terms of points, but also in terms of fouls, in terms of looks, in terms of all those different kinds of, you know, just sort of measures that you would apply to someone's offensive game. It's just not quite there. And so I think it is something else that Indiana needs to figure out. And listen, when you got two guys that can score at volume the way that Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford can, you know, you're going to have time, you're going to have options. I think it's worth pointing out that Juwan Morgan shoots 7 of 17 on two-pointers last night. If he shoots the season average, Indiana loses that game by 4 or 5 points. And it's not quite that simple, but my point is a game that probably to some people seemed a lot more likely to decide on much finer margins than maybe people realize.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, still having trouble with his connection there as he travels back from Fort Wayne. But again, Indiana falls at Michigan 74-63 and plays at Maryland on Friday. Let's give Zach, I think, one more chance to see if we can get a reasonable signal here, and then we may move on to the next thing. But Zach is with us Mondays talking IU basketball. Zach, I know we're struggling with your signal, so we want to give it one more chance, but you can continue on. I think we have you now.
I think that Indiana does need to find a third scorer. I don't think it's the most pressing need for this team, but I think it is a need. I think as long as you have Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, you'll have options offensively, and those two guys obviously, as we saw yesterday, need to avoid foul trouble. But to me, this team does need to...
Okay, that's Zach Osterman.
All right.
That's Zach Osterman. Zach, we'll let you go. We're struggling to get your good words. Maybe you could pull off in Fort Wayne and get a great interview with the Brooks family and find out some good news for IU fans from that perspective. But thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we had trouble connecting with you today, but as always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back, and Chad Gilbert will join us very shortly. Chad is with us on Mondays. He's Charlestown's athletic director. He's an IHSA executive board member. We'll recap some Southern Indiana sports headlines with him, and a lot more coming up here on the Big X and on the Hoosier Report in this next segment. Stay with us. We're continuing along in our Monday program. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Monday program, Chad Gilbert is with me on Mondays. We talk a lot of basketball and Southern Indiana sports headlines. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSAA Executive Board member. Chad, a former Jeffersonville girls and boys coach. And so we want to start right there talking about the big win for the Red Devils on Friday night over New Albany and one of the state's great rivalries. And I want to start our conversation where I started the discussion of that game on the show earlier. The first critique I have, really the only critique I have, it was a great game, a well-played game, two competitive teams, a lot of young players that are exciting to think about watching in future years. The one critique I have is to the fans and maybe listeners today that didn't take time out of their schedule on a Friday night to spend a cheap $5 and help fill the stands. There was a good crowd there, no question about it. It was a good crowd. Good student sections, all the things you really want for a high school basketball game, but it wasn't sold out, and it really wasn't close to being sold out. There were a number of seats available on the upper level on the three sides that bleachers exist. That was disappointing to me, given how good this series has been over the years and given that there's been a lot of excitement around high school basketball in our area in recent years. You'd like to think that would carry over at least for a few more seasons and keep people packed in for these rivalry games.
Well, Matt, the one thing, I didn't get an opportunity to watch the game. I've got a video coming, so I'll be able to give you an analysis a little bit better on both teams. However, I did see some pictures. I followed on Twitter, talked to some people at the game, and I'm with you. For such a rivalry, what would you guess was there, 2,000, 2,500?
No, would that be your... and you can answer this. What is the Jeffersonville gym seat capacity?
It used to be right at 5,000, and they did the renovation, and I think it knocked it down to about 4,500 right now.
Well, I'm going to say this is just a random an observation here, and again, I was tied up during the game, not like I had a chance to just study the crowd, but I'm going to say there were at least 1,000 seats, 800 to 1,000 open seats. Somebody mm-hmm. might hear me say that and take offense to that one way or the other, but to me, a number of open seats, the bleachers on the baseline that they only push back for these big type games, very spotty, and then the upper levels toward the top on both sides, there were a number of seats as well. But I mean, still a great crowd. A lot of places you'd show a picture of that crowd, they'd say, wow, for a high school basketball game. But you and I, we know a little bit better, and we know what this area thinks about its high school basketball. So I was disappointed from that perspective. I'd be lying if I said otherwise.
Absolutely. You know, and with 2,000 people there, you know, 2,500, that is a great crowd. But, you know, we are used to the New Albany-Jeffersonville matchup that is selling out, that people are scalping tickets. You know, and even pre-Romeo, the Jeff New Albany ticket was a hard ticket to get. It was standing room only. If you go to the doghouse, there's people in the tunnels, in the exits, you know, standing there. When you walk off the court, you're going through 50, 60 people to get to the locker room that are standing in the aisleway, you know. So that's a big thing. You know, maybe part of that was weather. And part of that, you know, it's kind of the date of where the game fell, Matt, because a lot of schools, we just went back to school on that Thursday. So it's kind of hard to have that buzz leading up to it with 2 days. Whereas in years past, you've had a whole week for New Albany Jeff Week, Jeff New Albany Week, you know, where that's kind of created that excitement a little bit. You know, kids, parents, they're just getting off the holiday break a little bit. It kind of snuck up on us on the calendar this year. And so those two factors may have came into play. I see no reason that this game will not continue to have 4,000 people. You know, if they match up in the Seymour sectional, which they very well could, expect to have, you know, 4,000 there that night, because it's going to be a great game.
Chad Gilbert is with me and with me every Monday here on the program. A couple other things about the game, and I know you haven't watched it yet. You're going to watch it on tape like a true basketball nut would do to I know you had your own game on Friday to supervise, but a couple things from that game. Jeffersonville, in my opinion, when they've got Jacob Jones at full force with his speed and quickness, his ability to pull up for a jump shot, his ability to dish it off to the open man, and when they've got Trey Coleman scoring points down low and on the wing and rebounding the basketball, going for double digits in both of those categories, and some other people stepping up, it really doesn't matter who those other people are, but when they've got those two for sure and a little help from others, I think they're really good. I don't think there's anybody they can't play with or beat on any given night.
Those two are hard to handle, you know. They're veterans. They played for 3 years. You know, these kids have been thrown to the fire, and they've been out there and been in the battles. And when you're talking about those two kids, one of them handles the ball. He's hard to guard. He's a great defender, and he's, you know, he can get around you and make you miss. And then with Coleman, you've got him who can go inside, who can step outside, who is a, you know, just has a great basketball body. If you see him in person, you understand what I'm talking about on that, you know, because, I mean, just a great broad shoulders chiseled out, that somebody that can really create space inside. But the one name that, you know, basketball fans are going to remember this, and you may remember it after the game, is Will Lovin Watts, who is a freshman. And the games that I've watched on him, he has really looked good for a freshman, really come along, and I think he's somebody that's really going to contribute to the Red Devils as the season continues to progress.
Talking with Chad Gilbert, recap of the New Albany Jeffersonville game. One of the other things, and I did mention this earlier, but I want to bring it up with you because you've got a little more historical perspective on it. I was excited during the game about the play of some of the freshmen on both teams, and I highlighted earlier in the show, specifically the play of Will Loving's Watts of Jeffersonville. He came in the middle part of that game, I believe it was the second period specifically, and offered some big plays and some big points for the Red Devils when they needed some help offensively. Coach Luce told me he really, with each game that passes, is finding more uses and finding that he's going to be a really good player more and more. On the New Albany side, Caden Stanton had a big three. It was a go-ahead opportunity for New Albany when he scored. Tucker Bivin, another freshman who is a baseball standout, committed to the University of Louisville already. He logged a number of minutes and had some shots in the game as well. And I just can't recall that many freshmen on both sides being a part of the game. There were some other really good freshmen that just didn't make it into the varsity game or didn't log any significant minutes in the varsity game. So others that will help those teams in future years. But a lot of young players in that game of interest that let's hope will keep it a competitive and a well-attended series for years to come.
And that'll just create more excitement, Matt. Like you said, more people will be familiar with those kids and they'll be coming out there. And those kids are names that have been around the program for many, many years up through the feeder system. You know, Will Evan Watts' case, I can remember him playing at Bridgepoint. And, you know, he's a point guard at Bridgepoint and just continue to grow. And he's got guard skills. And, you know, the other two guys you mentioned from New Albany, you know, I remember watching those guys in the Mitchell Speedy Leagues and seeing those guys come on the weekend games and how good they are. And I think Bivin's dad coached those guys coming up and watched them and say, you know, you can see they're going to be players. And they've stepped in and played huge roles. But the one thing, by playing in all these tournaments, by coming up through the ranks, when you step in this game, you're ready to play. And I think those freshmen that played Friday night, they weren't affected by the game at all. They took it as another game, and they were going out there to do their very best and win. So that's a lot of excitement for both programs.
Chad Gilbert is my guest and talking New Albany. Jeff, from Friday night, a win for the Red Devils. Looking ahead, New Albany has a couple, I don't want to say a couple weeks off. They've got games coming, but their next real exciting game, where I expect a terrific crowd and just a great fanfare around it, will be New Albany Silver Creek, and that's going to be exciting for a lot of reasons. We saw what Silver Creek did this weekend on the road at Newcastle, taking on Louisville Mail in that Indiana-Kentucky Challenge Cup. That said, Jeff, they get right back at it. They've got another big game coming up this Friday night. It has Hoosier Hills Conference implications for sure, and that's Jeffersonville hosting Floyd Central on Friday night. I think we all are in agreement that Floyd Central looks really good. Jeff got a big win Friday. New Albany is very capable, and we think we'll get better as the season goes on with some of these young players and others. But this game Friday night is kind of that final piece that I think everyone wants to see how it goes before we think ahead to the sectional. Let's see what happens in the regular season matchup of Floyd Central, Jeffersonville. And then from there, you can kind of piece together predictions and thoughts on what should be a tremendous 4A Seymour sectional in March.
I think, you know, after this Friday, you'll have a gauge and you'll be able to see where everybody is. You know, and Bedford is still lurking out there a little bit. You know, they're 5-7 right now, but they have some potential, you know, to maybe hit their stride here. They played a tough schedule where they could cause some problems in Seymour. However, you know, you talk about that game Friday. Just to put a bow on it, we played Madison Saturday night. Jim Shannon, B.J. McAllister here, scouting guy, talked to them, and you can tell that the wheels are turning. You know, this is not Jim Shannon's first rodeo with the New Albany-Jeffersonville game. He's won games, he's lost games, but he understands that this is a way that he's going to make adjustments for the second half of the season and think, how can we beat these guys? Because, you know, New Albany has the lead with 4 minutes to go. It's not like Jeffersonville blew them out. That game was neck and neck, back and forth. New Albany has the lead. Jeffersonville has the lead. Jeffersonville pulls away at the end. So you don't think in his mind that he's not calculating a way to come back and beat those guys. And Floyd Central, who caught him in the year, you're crazy. You know, this whole second half of the year, he's going to devote to that. Now, that brings us to the Floyd Central-Jeffersonville game. John Harrell's site has Floyd Central a one-point favorite. However, they had New Albany a one-point favorite the week before. So what that means, there's a lot of parity. Floyd Central's got a bona fide Indiana All-Star and Kobe Barnes, so I think that they're out there ready to go. But the one thing that Floyd is really hung their head on, you know, one thing when you watch teams, you look for a pecking order. And what I mean by pecking order is, do they have it where their best players have the ball in their hands in a position to score? or is it just every man for themselves? Whoever gets it down jacks it up first. You see that as a well-coached team. Is there a pecking order? Then you see, what does that team hang their hat on? Are they a good defensive team? Are they a good rebounding team? Are they a good passing team? And you think about Floyd Central, they have really hung their hat on their defense. So, you know, going into the game, I think you're going to have to limit yourself to one shot. And I think in transition defense, watching Jeffersonville in prior games, they get the ball down the court quick. So I think Floyd Central is really going to have to hustle back to get down the court. Because, you know, in that half court set, I think Floyd can guard about anybody. But transition, Jeff's got a lot of weapons to throw at you and can get up and down the court, which makes for an exciting game. It's almost like two contrasting styles going at it. But, you know, make no mistake, Floyd Central is going to go up and down with you, too. They're going to try to score on you on the other end. So it's going to be an exciting game for the fans. It'll be something that all those teams will be able to learn. All those teams will be able to get better, and it's going to create an exciting March.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad, it's hard to believe that we are in almost to mid-January and that we'll be talking about girls basketball sectional pairings and play coming up very soon. And, of course, the boys not too far behind that. I think things begin that last Tuesday night in February, and then you've got Friday and Saturday, the first weekend in March, with sectional semifinals and championship games on the boys' side. Once it finally gets here, once it finally gets going, it goes from big game to big game, weekend to weekend, and before you know it, we're talking about a season that's now in the postseason. So it's amazing how quick things get. But as an athletic director, managing all the sports and things at Charlestown, I know you see this from multiple perspectives.
Oh, we're underway preparations right now. We've got 3 weeks until the girls' sectional. We are hosting girls' basketball sectional, girls' basketball regional in the 3A, and then we're hosting the 3A boys' basketball sectional. So we've got a busy month and a half, 2 months coming up here. The good thing about it is we'll have all our workers that will know all their responsibilities from game to game to game. We'll have good food in the hospitality room, and we'll have good games on the court. So it's exciting. You know, it is busy, and it's one of those deals, you know, that it's not – when your team gets knocked out, it's not as much fun when you're hosting. However, if you want to see good basketball, you want to see a lot of parity, our girls' basketball sectional is going to be a lot of parity. You'd have to put Salem as the slight favorite right now over Scottsburg, but Scottsburg's right there. Then after that, you know, it's anybody's game with Charlestown and Cordon, a lot of teams – Silver Creek in that mix there. With North Harrison moved out, we're a 6-team sectional in the girls and a 7-team sectional in the boys. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Silver Creek will be by far head and shoulder above anybody in our sectional. But it will be interesting to see how well we played them the second game of the year. So we'll see how well they have advanced and developed for their state run coming through our sectional. So it'll be a lot of great basketball, a lot of good times, and a lot of excitement, because what's so good about it is kids are laying it on the line because they know it's do or die. It's win or go home. Parents know that. Coaches know that. And as a coach, you're coaching hard because you want to just extend that season to be around your team just one more day, one more week, because you don't want that to end, because you can never have that same team back again. You can always say, oh, there's always next year. It's not the same. You want to do what you've done. You want to do your very best for those kids who have laid it on the line for you since they were fifth grade coming to your basketball camp. And that's what makes it fun, is to see those guys out there doing their very best, performing at the highest level on the highest stage.
Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He joins the Hoosier Report Mondays as we recap Southern Indiana sports and, of course, talk a lot of basketball in this segment each week. Chad, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up with you again a week from now.
Matt, I appreciate the run. Hey, we got that hospitality room. Maybe we get honey-baked ham in the hospitality room as one of the sponsors. What do you think?
There you go. Sounds great to me.
All right, Matt, appreciate the run. Thank you.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. And, again, before we close out today, I meant to talk about this at the start of the show, but David Bell, the prize football and basketball dual sports standout at Warren Central, he made his announcement over the weekend after toying around with a to reach out and pick up the Ohio State hat. He switched over at the last second and went to Purdue, and so he's going to play college football for Jeff Brohm as he's beginning to really get some big-time players. He'll be there along with Rondale Moore next year. And, of course, Bell has been hurt, has been injured and out, and not played basketball so far this season, even though Warren Central remains undefeated. He's expected to rejoin the team coming up here a little bit later this month. So a very good team already. You add someone like him with the experience, the athleticism, and the skill that he has on the basketball court as well. Obviously, a very big pickup coming for Warren Central as they try to continue what's just been a historic stretch for them with lots of success in both football and basketball over the last couple of seasons. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. Don't forget you can find us on podcasts, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasts. You can go to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Or you can find us on the SoundCloud app. It's a free download. Also on Apple Podcasts, just search The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Leave us a rating and a review if you would. It'll help us find others, reach others that might be interested into a radio show, a podcast on IU basketball, Southern Indiana sports, and more. That's going to wrap it up for today. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Our Tuesday edition will include Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, and more. So stay with us for that coming up tomorrow on the program. Have a great day. Talk with you then. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.